Hello, hello.
Keep talking?
Alright, we're talking.
Are we broadcasting?
I hope not, because I didn't hear any opening music.
Oh, good. Let that dude know he didn't miss the show. Did I miss the show? Okay, you want some hummus?
I got the 40 spice hummus.
I didn't realize that hummus was part of our Brekker bar.
Sporty spice.
You might want to use the scroll in Mogulus to let people know you're running late.
Yeah.
That was from Tim.
Tim. Our Tim.
He must be home working on what he has to work on and probably has it on.
Kevin wants to know why you didn't call him back. I'll ask him live.
Wiki, internet, and real. That's all I need, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we didn't do last week?
Google.
We didn't have the phone number last week. We didn't introduce ourselves last week.
Okay.
That's some stuff.
Yep. We also are the 13th website that's participating in the Mezco Friday the 13th contest. Mm-hmm.
Does that make us cool?
I will. We'll have details next week.
XM on the 31st.
What? Don't care. Who are the five people? I should mute my shit. How do you mute it? Hello.
Well, there we
go. Well, there was something.
That was the two of us screaming at the same time. All right, I'm muting the sound now.
Did you mute it?
I did mute it.
What'd you do with your nose? Oh, I can see your other arms up there. Okay. So, Mark, do you know the run of the show? Was there an intro this week? Fantastic. Do you hear me? Hello out there in television land.
But it's not very loud. It's real quiet.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. That's in case we curse. Yeah. No. That will be the name of the book about this show. Uh-oh. Don't talk about him badly. Don't say his wife is hot.
And then everything froze.
Right before we talked about how hot his wife was. Is. Like 2 minutes ago.
I'm sure she'll be flattered, Craig.
I doubt it.
Oh, I heard Almighty ISIS.
What about Hooray for Hollywood? And there's Hello.
Hooray for Hollywood. What?
They can see us now. Now they know. They don't just hear it. That's love, I say that.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 133.
It is 133.
I'm calling it Hooray for Heath Ledger.
If that's what you want to call it.
Because he has received his Oscar nomination. For the role of the Joker in The Dark Knight.
That is correct.
I'm expecting that he'll win.
All right.
So,
that happens.
But we are going to talk more about the Oscars in segment two tonight. And we should introduce ourselves because apparently we didn't do that last week and we were criticized for it. So I'm Big Kev. There is OG. Stop looking at the camera. Just look at me. Look at me. Focus. 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 Is it? Anyway, Big Kev's Geek Stuff coming to you each and every week here on where are we? Ambush TV?
Yes, Ambush TV.
Somewhere with Mogulus the Mogulus.
Ambush.
Right. And it is somewhere between the 7 and 8 o'clock hour that the show does begin. What time is it?
A little after 8.
Somewhere between 7 and 8, whatever that is right now. Is where you can catch the video version, of course. You can go over to our website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, and get a download an edited version of this fine program, the audio version, if you will. And what else were we supposed to talk about at the top? There's like a million things. You were the one who had the list.
I always have a list. I always used to say we have a phone number. If
okay, go ahead.
That phone number is
425. Right, and you can call that up. You can leave us comments or questions, show topics you'd like us to discuss on the show or products and so on and so forth. And we'll do our best to get your question on the air, get it answered, get your comments on the air and react to them.
Sure. And actually, if you're watching this right now, they could try to address us, and we'll try to address it live on the go.
That's right, too, right over in our, what would you call that, chat room.
Right.
That accompanies the live video feed that you're experiencing right now. Yes. We should also say, for those of you that haven't been over to the website, there is a brand new hysterical live from Studio V up at the site right now. And that is hysterical. Production Tim didn't call me back today, and I'm a little disturbed. So I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there, but I called him the moment I saw it the other day because it was absolutely hysterical.
It was very, very funny.
So, bravo, production Tim. Let's sashay right into the news, shall we?
Okay, let's sashay.
Good.
We should go right into Watchmen.
Okay, let's go right into Watchmen.
I think last week we mentioned that while we were actually doing the show, the deal was going down. Things were in the works. The magic was happening, and we actually have some of those details now.
Okay. Okay.
The financial upfront cash payment is undisclosed, but is rumored to be somewhere in the $5 to $10 million ballpark.
Okay.
Okay. In addition to that,
that gets tacked right onto the production.
Right, and actually, that is supposed to include the $1.4 million that Fox claims they put into developing the film for all the years that they held onto the rights, in addition to the legal fees incurred as a result of this frivolous lawsuit.
Right. Go on. Right.
What Warner Brothers gets is the March 6th release date and Fox's name nowhere on the film.
Okay, that's
not
good.
Not in the credits, not anywhere else.
How about merchandise?
I think Fox is entitled to a little bit of everything, and including sequels and spin-offs, which hopefully there are.
There will never, ever be any of. Oh, God, there had better never be any of them.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And hopefully we'll see a new trailer soon.
Right. Maybe at the big game.
Maybe at the big game.
Right.
The hell that is.
It's the Super Bowl. I'm just calling it what it is. I don't know what this. Fuck them. Super Bowl. Come get me. Come get me. You can have everything on this table. They can have the pitas, the hummus, empty Snapple bottle. They can have all of it. I've heard of him. Is that happening?
That is happening, apparently.
Okay.
He has been cast, it looks like, in the lead role of Spike Siegel. Now, we don't do anime on this show a whole lot.
Because it sucks.
Mostly because you don't like it, and me because I don't watch as much of it as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've read, some people think that he is either really, really good for the role or really, really bad for the role.
Okay.
Some of the pictures I've seen of Cowboy Bebop, of the lead character, looks kind of like Spike Siegel, but... You know, he's got kind of the hairdo, he's kind of a tall, lanky guy, kind of an emotionless face, all those good things.
Right. So,
you know, I guess that works. I think Cowboy Bebop is kind of a space western type show.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Space westerns. Now, where have I heard that before?
I don't know. We'll get to that later. I'm not going to torture them too many times with that bit tonight.
What bit?
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about, referring to. Fantastic. You know what Biddy's referring to, and you best have that audio prepared. You know, fantastic. When we go to you on the mic, I want to see your pretty face on the TV screen. So you need to pot up the fantastic ham when you get on mic, because I know all the ladies would like to have a gander at your pretty face. So. Let's get the fantastic cam up there, and then you can comment.
I'd just like to say that Tim feels that the anime is good, but that the movie should not be done. Just wrong.
Tim, is that production Tim?
That is production Tim.
Okay.
Chiming in.
We have a lot of Tims. So.
We have a lot of Tims. Learn about production.
I'm still waiting for the fantastic cam. Go on. Figure it out, fantastic. We'll wait.
Can I move on?
Go ahead. Yeah. Right. Everyone's listening.
You want to talk about Nottingham?
No. That's still happening? Yes.
I believe it was Sienna Miller was tied to be Maid Marian.
Baroness?
Yeah, I believe that's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like she's no longer involved in the film.
Good move on her part.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of our favorite filmmakers? Is that Ridley Scott doing that?
The rumor is that Crow hadn't lost enough weight, and Miller was perceived to be too thin for the role opposite.
Uh-huh.
But other people are saying that it could be because of all the delays at the film production. Miller is having other problems.
So they need a fatty. They need a fatty opposite Crow.
A little more money. More meat.
A little more meat. Who's got a little more meat?
I don't know.
Meaty actress. Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet's a little meaty. She can get a little meaty.
She is. Have you ever watched Extras?
Yeah.
Show?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Kate Winslet episode?
No,
that
didn't see that.
Very funny.
Really? Is it better than the Daniel Radcliffe episode?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, that one's
I've only seen
hysterical.
The first season, so
gotcha.
Like Kate Winslet, Patrick Stewart.
Right.
Ben Stiller. But Kate Winslet, very, very funny.
Yes.
Terrific.
Well, thank God.
Woo! We can all breathe.
Continuity. Thank goodness for continuity.
All we know is that it's supposed to begin production this year, May of this year, and it is going to theaters sometime in, I believe, May of 2011. May of 2011. I wanted to say how important it is.
Well, that is really good news. What's that fella's name? Played the dad in Juno.
I have his name. It is J.K. Simmons.
Yes, that's it. J.K. Simmons. I always forget his name. Good. Very happy to hear that. I do, but I need Fantastic to cue up the intro music. So why don't you do something else while Fantastic puts that together?
Talk about Moon Knight.
Okay. I love the comic.
Do you love the comic?
Yeah.
Do you love the comic enough to know that Marvel has struck a deal with No Equal Entertainment to create a Moon Knight television series?
No.
All right, so all we know so far
is that it's a bad idea.
But they haven't released anything else. So no date as to when.
So it's just a development deal.
It really is just a development deal.
But I think doesn't mean anything.
Talk about the character and whether or not he would work on TV. It could work. It could be like a kind of crime noir.
Yeah, it could work.
Like take Angel.
You know who?
That type of show,
right.
But put Moon Knight in there.
Yeah.
Like that kind of
I think they would have to adjust Moon Knight a little bit,
well,
I think.
They have to do some costume adjustments.
Right. Which they could easily do, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
A little bit more
screen friendly.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. It could be a good idea. It could be a bad idea. But
I'd like to say that I think they should look at Nathan Fillion for that part once the current TV show that he's going to be doing fails.
And what's the name of that current
TV? I have no idea. No.
Castle.
Is that what it is?
It's called Castle.
Is it the book publisher? He writes a book or something?
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Writer,
is he?
He helps solve,
oh, really? So it's murder he wrote?
Yes.
Is that it?
Wow.
Unbelievable. Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm using it again. Murder he wrote.
All right, so for the big Kev Geek Stuff listeners out there, your task is to find the episode in which Kev says murder he wrote.
That's right. And if you...
there'll be a prize involved in it for you.
I'm gonna lay this on the table right now. The first person to email... what is it? GeekStuffOG@gmail.com. Tell us what episode or leave us a voicemail. Let's take one of each. First person to leave a voicemail, first person to email OG, will win tickets to New York Comic Con.
Wow.
That's it. Yep. One spanking. This is a weekend pass, too, I think. I know. So the first person to get that info to OG. And again, the trivia question is, what episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff did I already use the joke "murder he wrote"?
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
That'll set the downloads ablaze, I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Fantastic. Are we ready with this introduction? Okay. I numbered the pictures, like you asked. What about... it's clearly labeled as to what it is. It says D&D intro. Is it running? About halfway through, it should die. You should pause it. This is that run-of-the-show meeting that I wanted to have 2 hours ago to talk about these things. The Fantastic Cam is not working. Terrific.
Splody computers.
Okay, about in the middle, you should be able to pause it there because we don't want to clue them in on the end of the segment. There's also an accompanying picture if you wanted to put that up. Tonight in the D&D segment of our show where we explore Dungeons & Dragons, the 4th edition, and all their latest releases. Tonight we're talking about the most latest release. Actually, this one just came out this week. This is Open Grave, Secrets of the Undead, brand new spanking book. I've been waiting for them to tackle this topic, and they have. It's going to run you about $30, and it's worth it. And the flavor text says, this supplement for Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game explores the origins, tactics, myths, and lairs of undead creatures. Along with encounters and hooks for your campaign, it presents a host of undead threats, including new varieties of ghouls, skeletons, vampires, wraiths, and zombies. It also introduces new kinds of undead and provides statistics for unique undead villains such as Acerak and Vecna.
Okay.
So this is, again, another, I think, absolutely essential guide to a realm of the D&D universe that they haven't explored yet in the 4th edition.
Pros and cons.
Okay, go.
Right.
And
all the information for something that is glossed over typically in some of the
Right.
So that's the major problem.
Okay.
Con,
yep.
No rules for playable characters.
Because nobody plays undead. Undead's not a playable thing. So don't you think a clever game master would be able to take a book such as this, and from flipping through it, I had a chance to read some of it before we, actually most of it while waiting to do the show, and I can tell you that a clever dungeon master, game master, would be able to take this this set of rules and create some sort of player character thing. Because I don't think they just want to give it all away. I don't think they want to etch out everything. You know, there. You remember D&D when there was that whole creative element where, you know. Okay, they are trying to maintain that by not micromanaging every single little aspect of the game down to a rule. I don't. No one creates an undead. If you have a character that becomes an undead, that would be one thing. You just want. I know what you want. You want World of Warcraft, the role-playing game, where you can create the undead, you could be a gay death knight. You can, that's what you want. You're not getting that. This is Dungeons & Dragons, sir.
I'm just saying that it would expand the playable characters past what has been established for years. It would open up new doors for new players.
They're coming up with all sorts of stuff, sir.
We're
getting books all the time. We have books. We have our D&D segment. That we've been doing. Now, we've had a couple of weeks off because of the holidays and everything else. We're back on stride, sir. They have stuff coming out all the time. This is fantastic. This release schedule, the stuff they're doing with the 4th edition D&D, go over to D&D Insider. That's the letter D, the letter N, the letter D, insider.com, and you can learn more about what they're doing with 4th edition D&D. Open Grave, Secrets of the Undead, going to run you about $30. And it is absolutely, absolutely essential, especially for GMs. You got to have this. Players, maybe if the DM is a creative fella and you get some undead action in there, they're going to want to have this too. I'm just saying. And now, fantastic, you could play the second part of that, which would be the outro. It's D&D!
Wow.
Kraken. I think I'll make sure I have that set up as an intro and an outro for next week. Fantastic. Yes, with numbers. Thank you.
All right, let's go into DVD releases.
It's DVDs! What?
You're torturing me and the audience.
Good.
What little there may be.
Tell you what. You talked about DVDs. I'm going to have a little piece of pita. I'm going to have a little snack. I'm going to have the Tribe hummus with 40 spices. Got bite, sir.
Of course not. First up would be Igor, which starred John Cusack and Steve Buscemi in some of the voice roles, directed by Anthony Leondis. This was a CGI animated film that
right.
came out, I guess, earlier or later.
Lot of press, lot of promotion. Not a lot of box office. Right.
It looked cute. I didn't see it. Perhaps I'll put it on my Blockbuster queue and wait for it to show up at my house.
That and Star Trek original episodes you'll put right on that queue, I'm sure.
Oh, you know me in the Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Right up there. Right up.
Other DVD?
Saw 5.
How did that work its way in there? Didn't that just come out like a week ago?
I haven't seen past Saw 2. So
I saw Saw 3. I don't remember there being a 4. So I guess. I know 5 had the poster where they had Tobin Bell's face like strapped on some other guy.
Yeah.
That was the promotion for that. He was kind of like.
How did he beat the cancer?
He didn't. He died.
Oh, he died in
3, I think, yeah.
I heard that, but like I said,
what happened in 4? I don't even see it in 4.
All right.
But did she? Shawnee Smith. Yeah, Shawnee Smith.
Yeah, I thought she took her.
She's a very nice young woman. What was the other? There was one other one, too. What was the other one?
And I'm almost ashamed to say that I want to see this. I know that it's going to stink, but something inside says I should watch it. And that would be Matt Payne.
Oh, on the unwatchable edition, which is both of them.
I've heard bad things.
Uh huh.
But I'm still interested in possibly checking out.
Let's see what that's going to come up in segment two, sir.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
It's going to come up in segment two. Comics this week that you're going to want to check out. I don't know if Fantastic is putting up any of these images that we have for the news tonight. I'm guessing no. But here it is for those of you at home. This is Moon Knight, number 26, right there. And this continues the story, brings Punisher into play a little bit. It's a fantastic book for Marvel, and let's face it, that's saying a lot these days. So, also, Captain America Theater of War. This is the third one-shot. It's not a series. It's, I guess, a series of one-shots. It's the third one that explores stories set in the World War II era of Captain America.
Now, is each issue standalone, or do they link together to form a cohesive story?
No, they are standalone stories that have either the majority, like this one takes, but there's two stories in this one. I think there have been two or three stories in the other ones. This one takes place, the second story in this one actually takes place both in the wartime period and in the modern day. So there's kind of a cohesion there. Cap was at his best in the World War II, in my opinion. I mean, that's when, you know, he was the Sentinel of Liberty and so on and so forth. And he meant so much, to the war effort in the comic book realm, if you will. I love World War II stories. That's why I'm really looking forward to that likely screwed up movie. But I have to say that any story about Cap in World War II is going to be one I'm going to read.
All right.
Not, I read all of them, but I'm saying those ones are the ones I really enjoy. This is new. Amazing Spider-Man 583.
Again.
This would be the second printing variant with Barack Obama on the cover. Now, what they've done, very good, fantastic, very good. What they've done is they have flipped the artwork, so it's actually the mirror image of the first printing, and they've changed the color of the background from blue to yellow, but everything else remains the same. Now, there is a third printing coming down the line, which will have, again, I think the art flipped this way, and it will have a blue/American flag sort of background.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very nice. And this is actually your copy, so you can keep that. Yeah. Nice. And I think that's comics to check out this week. Wow, were all three of those Marvel?
All three of them were Marvel.
Whew, write the date down.
You feeling all right?
I'm all right.
All right, why don't we talk about
Disney
real quick. Disney. Disney's got two things that I'm interested in.
Okay.
The first is Disney's Christmas Carol.
All right.
Which is supposed to be groundbreaking 3D motion capture, yada, yada. That's
yeah.
What it's supposed to be.
Right. Ew. That is a pretty impressive cast list.
Is that the first time that Robert Wright Penn and Cary Elwes have been together in a film since Princess Bride?
I think so, yeah.
Nice.
We don't know that they're together in the film.
But you know, I mean, starred in the same
right.
film.
Right. I gotcha.
Performed.
If you will.
In the same film.
I understand.
So that is coming out November 6th. And I don't know. I look forward to it. I like Disney traditionally. I like the 3D motion on IMAX. So we'll see how that goes. Going to open up before the end of the year, which we've talked about on the show before, is The Princess and the Frog. And that's got a December 25th opening, and I just wanted to bring that up so you can look forward to that. That is the one that's set in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
It's a Cajun comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. Disney-related news.
Yes, go on. Hooray!
And,
is it the last two books, or is it the last book split into two films?
The last two films, which is the last book split into two films. It's Deathly Hallows Part 1, then we know now that November 19th, 2010 is the release date for part one, and sometime in May of 2011 is the release date of part two.
November and okay, so that's got a while yet.
So, yeah, it's November of next year.
So they could have 6 months after. They could have a trailer. Theoretically, they could have some sort of teaser-type trailer in front of or at the end of the one that's coming out this spring.
My guess would be we'd see maybe some sort of teaser.
Right.
Would be my guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we still have a couple months for that to come out. They start production now. They're still doing some principal
shooting. Right.
They'll definitely have something under wrap, so that would be the time to promote it.
Oh, what am I going to do when it's all over? Oh, Emma Watson. And Nakeder.
All right.
What?
I don't want to touch that one yet. Is she older yet?
Yeah.
Oh, is she?
18.
Oh, I didn't realize she had.
She's almost 19, I think.
Oh, wow. Oh, she's old. Isn't she too old for you?
Oh, that's funny. Very funny.
That small window of opportunity between 13 and 14.
That's funny.
Yeah. No.
I hope you have something else because your humor is not going to float this show. Right, let's.
Yay.
Okay, what do you got? I know what this one's about, so.
You know what this is about.
Yeah, the wide press release went out this week that Mattel will be producing Barbies based on the new Star Trek film by J.J. Abrams. And the first and possibly only three to be produced are going to be Kirk, Spock, and Uhura.
That is correct. Ooh, and there they are.
Yes. They are splendid.
I would say that the likeness on Kirk is really pretty impressive.
Right.
Honestly, I think out of the three of them, he's the best one.
Yeah, I would have to agree. So we'll look forward to getting those, and we'll be able to talk more about them once they're out. They're going to be individually boxed, not coming in sets.
That's correct. They are in 12-inch scale.
Mm-hmm. But it's a Barbie.
I understand. But hopefully they do it right. It's Mattel, right? Barbie is Mattel.
Yeah.
Is that correct? So, we know Mattel is the potential and the wherewithal to put out good quality
right.
products.
Right. That's true.
Let's hope that this falls into that category.
Let's hope. Azrael is coming back to the DC Universe.
Has he been gone? I didn't know.
Now, yeah, and he was dead. But apparently this Azrael is not that Azrael.
Oh, is this Azrael Batman?
This is a new, no, it's a new, no, no, it's a new, it's a new feller. I thought the reason I wanted to bring this up was I think the Batman universe has just gone plumb loco. They kill Batman, presumably. And now it's all this, who's going to be the next Batman, struggle for the cowl or whatever the heck the storyline is called. And I think it's just gone plumb loco. At this point, why hasn't Nightwing just stepped up and put it on and let's get it over with already?
Because Nightwing is cool by himself.
Yeah, but there's a responsibility factor.
Okay.
And I don't think he's maintained the responsibility. I think that all this and who's going to get it and I think it's just it's kind of fluffy, fluffy drama for no reason. Let's be honest. He's not really dead. I'm sure he'll be back in a year. It's the comic book world. For God's sake, nobody stays dead. Look at Bucky is now Captain America. That is the single most used comic joke on the planet. Is that Bucky? Yeah, it's dead like Bucky. But, nobody's dead. And neither is Bucky because now he's Captain America. So, I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. It just bugs me what they're doing over there. Now they got to bring Azrael back. Every time Batman disappears, Azrael has to pop up. I don't get it.
I'm going to give Fantastic Q to queue up a certain stinger that, while I may not like it, you certainly like it.
You mean the bit?
It's the bit.
It's the bit, Fantastic.
Give me a second to queue it up, we'll talk about something else.
Okay, go ahead.
Tom and Jerry, CGI Warner Brothers film, a la Alvin and the Chipmunks.
So it'll have Jason Lee in it? And will he own Tom? And Jerry will be kind of just in the house?
No. Will be CGI, and I guess like Garfield too. Tom and Jerry will be CGI, and there will be realistic real world.
I don't know that.
I hope that they, I mean, you know, Tom and Jerry are Tom and Jerry. They're each other.
There have been humans in Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Yeah, but isn't it, I mean, I could be wrong because I haven't watched Tom and Jerry in a long time, but isn't it all of like Nanny and the Muppet Babies or whatever? Don't you just see like...
Mostly just the legs. There have been occasions where you saw more than that, but by and large, that's the way they usually kept it, yeah. So Jason Lee's legs could make an appearance in the film.
I haven't heard that Jason Lee is going to be involved in this project in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Okay.
Fantastic is now ready for you to go ahead and do your thing.
All right. So we've been talking about a particular line of statues that are based on the film Serenity.
Uh-huh. And Serenity, of course, is the film based on the TV series. Did it work? Oh, there is? Okay. All right. There you go. Right. There's the bit.
So there it is. It's done. It's out of the way. Let's talk about the product. This is the Mal Mimiket from QMX. This is second in the line. I think we have a picture of this as well. All right. Pros and cons of the Mal Mimiket.
Okay.
I like the Mimiket.
Okay, me too.
I like the representation of the character.
Mm-hmm.
I like this kind of kiddie animated style that they're going for.
Right.
And I believe that a proceeds from this figure are actually going to a charity.
That would be
the Reed Foundation.
Right. That's Nathan Phillips, Nathan Fillion, and PJ Harzma. Founded that, and it's kidsneedtoread.org if you want to check out more about that.
Correct. So each figure that you get, a portion of the proceeds from that figure go to the charity, and I think each figure also comes with a little card kind of explaining the charity.
Mm-hmm.
And some information.
Yes.
Okay. Each figure is also numbered. I have here 134 out of 1,000.
Right. The series is the Little Damn Heroes.
Correct.
Series, and they were designed by Adam Levermore Rich.
Correct.
Right.
All right. He feels a little flimsy to me.
Okay, in what way?
He's a little, I mean, it kind of feels, it feels like it's polystone, but I don't think that it is. It's some sort of plastic, perhaps. Or,
okay.
And the jacket is kind of, it doesn't bend or give, but I fear that one light whack and it would break.
Well, one would hope that you would care enough about it not to lightly whack it.
Well, I understand that, but when you spend $55 or $60 on a statue, you would hope that there is a certain amount of durability built into the statue. You know, that comes along with that price tag. Now, that being said, I love it. I encourage everybody to go buy it, although I think there's less than 100 left.
Wow, is that right? And where can they go and get that?
They can go to qmxonline.com, the Quantum Mechanics website. And actually, if you go over to bigkevsgeekstuff.com, we have a link over to the QMX website.
Oh, is that right?
Right from there to the website.
Gouda.
And, I believe, like I said, there are less than 100 left. So I do recommend going to pick it up. Again, this is number two in the line. First was Kaylee. And I believe, based on some things that we've seen in the past, I think River is probably up next.
Ooh, really? That would seem to be the way of things. I have a piece I want to talk about also from Diamond Select Toys. This is the Fertility Idol Bank from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. It is nice.
Mokana Motumba! Mokana Motumba! Know what I said?
I have no clue.
If only you spoke Jovitos, you would understand. It's pretty much a 1:1 scale replica of the Fertility Idol. Fantastic. I think we got a picture of this. We could show the peeps. It's pretty much a 1:1 scale bank. It's got a nice gold color to it. I mean,
you know, for 15, 16 bucks, this is 17 bucks, whatever the SRP is. It's really a nice piece to have on a desk or in a display. If you're an Indiana Jones fan or just a film fan in general, I think would probably really enjoy this. And there she is in all her glory. These are available now in specialty shops. I'm sure they'll be going wider as they go along. And yeah, it's nice. Very nice piece. Diamond Select Toys. Good job. No.
Why not?
Because. No, I'm going to put it gently on a pedestal. And if anybody removes it from the pedestal will sink.
Right.
A giant ball will come down and hit them.
Okay.
That's going to take me a while to get all that together.
Sounds like an episode of Most Extreme
Challenge. Yes, it does.
Or
Mythbusters.
I
don't think they've done that one. I don't think they've done that one yet. Exciting. So what else do you have over there?
That's it? I'm ready to take a break.
All right. Well, let's take that break. And I'm sure Fantastic will be playing our commercial here. And we'll be right back with segment two of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 133. I don't remember what I called it.
I don't remember either.
Well, we'll come back with it. Hooray for Hollywood. We're back.
We are back.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 133. Hooray for Heath Ledger.
Hooray for Heath Ledger.
Boo. Yeah, it got dissed.
It did get
well, the Oscar nominees were announced.
They were announced.
And,
Something
crazy. And also the Razzies, I think, were also announced. Is that correct?
The Razzies were also announced.
Razzies nominees.
Yes.
Okay. So let's take time and go through these Oscar nominees and see what's going on there, shall we?
Do we want to go through all of the categories?
Yeah. Well, no, let's not. I mean, you know, I don't care what best foreign language film was.
Okay.
Let's take the top ones. Best picture. Actor, actress, supporting actor, actress.
Let's start with best
director. Okay.
Best picture.
Okay, best picture.
The five films nominated.
Well, let's take them one at a time.
All right,
you're going to overload Fantastic. His head will explode trying to get through all of them and putting up the appropriate picture.
I'm sorry. The Curious Case.
See, the pictures for this segment, numbered.
And in order.
Yes, see, there it is, corresponding picture.
Nice.
See how it works when you number them?
Wow.
Just saying.
All right.
Okay, so this is, what's his name?
Old so-and-so?
Benjamin Button is Brad Pitt.
Yes.
A story of a man who ages in reverse.
Correct.
Right, so technically, I would say this is a genre film. This falls within our preview. Little sci-fi fantasy, something, little fantasy sci-fi. And it was directed by Fincher, right?
Yes, David
Fincher. Good. Yeah, okay. Very good. I saw it. It's an excellent film. I thought it was very good. I don't see why it shouldn't be up there. Go on.
Frost Nixon. Now, I didn't see this, but I really, really wanted it.
I saw about 40 minutes of this waiting for another movie.
And
I thought it was really spectacular. I wanted to actually go back and see the rest of it. Of course, it dramatizes the events leading up to and the interview where David Frost interviewed Nixon after he was dismissed, if you will, from the role. Yes, and historically very significant. The film is fantastic. Frank Langella as Nixon, of course, very excellent. So okay, I can see why that would be up there. Sure. Milk, okay, this is Sean Penn,
right,
who's playing Harvey Milk.
Correct.
Who was, I guess this has got to be the 70s.
Yes.
He was a politician in San Francisco.
Why do I say it like that?
Like what? That's how it's pronounced, San Francisco? It's San Francisco.
What's
your problem?
It's
San Francisco. It's your problem. He was the first openly gay, I think, politician to run for Senate or Congress or something. Is that it? San Francisco.
Right.
What is your problem? What?
Nothing.
Jeez. Cool whip. What else do you have there?
The Reader.
I have
no idea. What is this?
This is a movie with Kate Winslet.
All right.
Directed by, I can't remember the fellow's name. But it's set in World War II, World War II era Nazi concentration campy type Nazi something or other period drama. There.
Captain America
involved? No,
oh.
Regrettably.
Damn.
Though, yeah, they keep saying that's going to be that movie, but I don't know. But I haven't seen this one either. This one was a little difficult to find. I wanted to see this one, but I wasn't able to find it playing relatively nearby. So
okay.
I'll have to. That's as much as I know about it. I don't know that it's better than Dark Knight. I don't know. Dark Knight is not on this list, however, and that's a little disturbing considering it's the second largest grossing film of all time. Somebody liked the fucking movie.
There is one more.
Oh, is it Dark Knight? No, it isn't.
It is Slumdog Millionaire.
Which is likely going to win because the buzz around this flick is unbelievable. Danny Boyle, directed by Danny Boyle, who gave us such films as Train Spotting.
Oh, that's right. I like Train Spotting.
And
except the Did Baby creeps me the hell out every single
on the ceiling. He also gave us, what was that other wonderful film? Sunshine, his science fiction effort, was also well received by me. I don't know about the world, but I liked it. It's the story of a young Mumbai slum kid who goes on the Indian version of, I guess, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to get a girl's attention or something. I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. Does he?
Yeah, he wins.
Oh.
I think there's happiness involved.
Really? Because I heard the opening is, like the first bit of the film is rather dreary and dreadful as they show the slums of Mumbai. Well, I'm just saying. I just think it's probably a great flick. I just haven't had a chance to see it yet. I do want to see it, though. Especially because everybody is going stupid for it. You know, like, oh, my God, Slumdog Millionaire is like the best movie ever made in India.
Slumdog Millionaire is the movie that is going to get a re-release in the theaters like a month or two after the Oscars.
And where was the Dark Knight release? I heard it was back in IMAX, but...
I haven't seen it yet. It's supposed to be January.
I thought... Okay.
I mean, considering that's pretty much the last week in January, I would hope it's next week, but it's coming, so.
Okay.
All right. Achievement in directing pretty much mirrors that first list.
Okay, so this is now who would be up for best director.
Correct.
Okay, who's on the list? Now, wait a minute. Is that the order that they're in on that sheet? No.
Yes.
No, it is not.
It is the same order.
Let me see. This is not the list you gave me.
It's the same exact list I gave you. I sent you the list that I had.
I don't believe that's accurate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Put up picture 6. Let's see if this is the list you... Nope. This would be actor. So let's go to performance by actor in a leading role. I opened the document and put them exactly in that order. Well, all right, good. Actor in a leading role. Who is this fella on the screen? This guy is a character actor. He always turns up in a lot of stuff. What's his name?
Oh, that's Richard Jenkins in The Visitor.
Right, Richard Jenkins. I believe he may have wrote and directed this also. I'm not sure. But apparently he's excellent in it. I haven't seen it. In fact, before the Oscars, I hadn't even heard of it. So that's a little too obscure for me to comment on. What else do you have in the best actor category? Right, Frank Langella in Frost Nixon, there he is. He did a good Nixon, I thought. From what I've seen of it, he did a good Nixon. I don't know that he did a great Nixon.
Okay.
It's hard to beat, I think, Anthony Hopkins in the movie Nixon, who I thought was an excellent Nixon. And I will say Nixon one more time.
Okay.
Who else?
Quick update.
Yep.
Dark Knight and IMAX tomorrow.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Sweet. Add that to my list of things to do this weekend. Production Tim on the ball.
Sean Penn in Milk.
Sean Penn in Milk. No. Yes, there he is. Again, I haven't seen the film. I've seen a lot about the film. I've seen a lot of clips from the film. And from what I can tell, it seems like that it was a very good performance. But I regret that I haven't seen. But they always say that, but... Like Dead Man Walking was one of his best roles ever, but I thought that was kind of bleh.
Really, does anything compare to Best Actor?
No. Jeff Spicoli is the character by which I compare all of his other characters.
Exactly.
So, okay, what do you got next?
Brad Pitt in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
There he is, Brad. Now, he's kind of youngish in the picture that we have there, which means it's later in the film. And as we said, he ages backwards. It's really rather remarkable how they did him as an old baby, you know, like the effects and so on and so forth, I thought were really spectacular.
I haven't seen this yet.
Okay.
How do they explain the birth?
They don't really. I mean, they kind of do, but it's fantasy. Yeah. No. In fact, the fact that he's young and the fact that he's a little kid, but he's an old man outside, but a little kid inside, if you will, is kind of a secret throughout the entire movie. Only the people who are very closely involved in his life know the real deal there. Yeah.
Mick
in The Wrestler, and there he is. This is for some reason, this spectacular performance has leaked out of Mickey Rourke into this movie, The Wrestler, and everybody is going on and on about it. I regret, again, I have tried to see this movie. I just haven't found a place to see it yet, but I understand that where? Oh, is it still there? Oh, okay, good. Well, maybe I'll add that onto my list this weekend. Fantastic. Would you maybe like to join me to see The Wrestler? I know that's a topic that would interest you. Oh, you have. I don't see any fantastic cam, so you can't possibly be talking. I'm ready. Okay. Oh, there he is. Look at him, pretty man. So, what were you saying? Now you've already seen The Wrestler. What'd you think? Be honest, though, wasn't it the Jake the Snake Roberts story? Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, I know. It's not Jake the Snake Roberts. It's Randy the Ram. No, it doesn't. It looks like it got rammed. Okay, all right. Okay, so he's the comeback kid. He won the Golden Globe.
He's the Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah, nah, stop it. Is that the end of the actor category?
That's the end of the actor.
Okay, good. Let's go to Best Actress, I believe, is what I had next. So, I believe I had Actress. What was the, fantastic, what's the next picture there? After old beat up face. Leather Man. Ah, so I'm saying Best Actress. I'm saying Best Actress, and that, of course, is Anne Hathaway in her groundbreaking performance of, what was that movie?
Rachel
Getting Married. Possibly the worst film I've seen this year. What a hunk of garbage the movie was. Terrible.
This is like the sixth or seventh time I heard you say that.
It was absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. I defy unbearable awful. This close, and I never walk out of the theater ever. There was, you know what, this was a glorified short film. This movie should have been, no lie, 40 minutes long. You could have told this story in 40 minutes and cut out the other hour and change worth of ridiculous wedding footage. And let me try to explain this to you. I'm going to capsulize this again. She was a drug addict. I guess she went to rehab. She's coming home for her sister's wedding. She's still screwed up, obviously, because, you know, she cut her hair and she's still whatever. And the point is, the sister is marrying – this is not the point. But the sister is marrying a person of color, a black fella. And they're both kooky artist music type people. So they have to have all this kooky artist music type nonsense at their wedding, which they show every second of. It seems like you're watching the wedding and reception in real time. I'm not even joking. I wish I was joking. If anybody has seen this movie, please, I'm going to put it
back up.
Listen, I'm telling you, if anybody has seen this movie, anybody but me, what's the number? 425-920-6050. Call us up and back me up on this, because I can't imagine there's a person out there who's going, oh my God, it's like the best movie I've ever seen. There can't be a single person who liked this movie. I can't even, I mean, and they're all talking about her performance. Her performance was fine. It should have been, really, it should be edited. When it comes out, I'm going to get it. I'm going to edit it into a short film, and I will make it brilliant.
Okay.
I'm just saying. That's how much it sucked.
All right.
All right. There. That's on down off my soapbox, and go on.
All right. Angelina Jolie in The Changeling.
Ah, yes, there she is. Angelina Jolie in her Oscar-nominated performance in Clint Eastwood's movie, The Changeling. I didn't get a chance to see this one again. It kind of came and went very quickly. I do want to see it. It looks really spectacular, but I have no basis for comparison, I'm afraid. So congratulations to her. She ain't going to win, so that's fine. Yeah, this is another one. I have no idea, but until the Oscars, I hadn't heard, there she is, I hadn't heard of this flick until the Oscars. Okay. So I have no idea what it's about. I have no idea what it is, but she got nominated. So it must be a hell of a performance because somebody dug it.
All right, this one some people are going to be happy about.
Okay.
Kate Winslet in The Reader.
Yes. Now, she won as, did she win for supporting actress in this role for the Golden Globes?
She won for the other movie. She won for Revolutionary Road.
As actress.
Oh, as actress.
She won for supporting actress in The Reader. There's a very extreme close-up of Kate Winslet's face.
Well, she has pretty eyes.
Wow. It's a little, it's technical difficulties, folks. It's, we're working through the bugs. But she won, here's my confusion, she won for Best Actress Golden Globes for Revolutionary Road. She won Best Supporting Actress for The Reader. But now the Oscars, she's been nominated as Best Actress in The Reader. So it's a little confusing.
I guess that there's a differentiation in how they break down the categories.
Okay, maybe there is. Maybe there is. Okay. Okay. Meryl Streep, I believe this may be her 15th nomination in this category, in Oscar nomination overall. I'm sure she has. I don't know what they are. She may have. I don't know. She thankfully was not nominated for that piece of horseshit, Mamma Mia. But I did see Doubt. I liked her performance, but I did not like the movie. Because the movie was a play first, and essentially they just translated the play to the film, and I don't think it works as well as a film as it did as it does on paper as a play. I've read it, because there's no. It seems like there's this big, like there would be a dramatic build up to a confrontation between her character and Philip Seymour Hoffman's character of the priest, basically this nun. She plays a nun. Meryl Streep plays a nun who believes that Philip Seymour Hoffman's priest character is touching this little black kid. And they build up with the, you know, with the allegations and so on and so on. Is it happening? Is it? Talks to the mothers. I mean, there's some wonderful performances in the movie. It seemed like it left me kind of high and dry. No real kind of cinematic. Sort of confrontation end. It was just kind of, yeah. All right. Okay. And it's set in like the 60s too. So they all wear in the full gear, the nuns. I think that picture, did we have that picture of Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You saw her then in the
now,
get up.
I don't know what magical list you had or what you went to next.
I would guess it would be Best Supporting Actor.
Okay. Best Support Performance by an Actor.
Uh-huh. Right. Who do you got? Okay, good.
Josh Brolin in Milk.
Nope, I guess we're going to director.
All right.
Because that is not Josh Brolin. That is actually Danny Boyle in another super close-up on the set of Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
So Danny Boyle has been nominated for Best Director.
All right,
who's next? Danny Boyle is a great director. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know about this particular piece of direction, but okay.
Considering I had Danny Boyle on the bottom of this list, I'm going to let Fantastic pick who's next.
Okay, who do you have next, Fantastic? Who else was nominated, Fantastic? No. What do you mean I don't know how to count? Okay, this would be the director of The Reader.
Okay, so the director of The Reader, that would be Stephen Daldry. So we're going upwards.
Stephen Daldry. That is not the list you sent me, sir.
Okay.
Stephen Daldry. There he is. He's kind of cut off in this this picture with him and Kate Winslet. Guess we'll work on the picture issue this week. Fantastic. And, yeah, good guy. That's all I got to say about him. I don't know anything about the man. I don't know what else he's directed, although I should. Actually, it's on the tip of my tongue. What is that other? He did do something else that's fairly significant, but it's just escaping me at the moment. Just Daltrey. Oh, he was James Bond. No, I'm kidding. That's the other Daltrey.
That's very different.
Oh, wait, he's the lead singer of The Who.
No,
that's another Daltrey still. No, yeah, okay. What do you got? Who's fantastic? Who
directed Billy Elliot and The Hours?
Okay, yeah, Billy Elliot, I think, is the one I was thinking of. Whew, thank God. Is that it? Just Billy Elliot and The Hours?
Well, there's other stuff, but Cinema 16, 8, Wednesday, Unlocked, Guy X, Mickey Bow and Me, Omnibus,
and
Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, which is coming out in 2009.
Yes, that's a comic-based flick,
yes,
sir. Okay, what do you got there? Gus Van Sant for Milk. What do you, who do you have? I have Clint Eastwood on my list as next. What list did you send me?
Eastwood is not even up for achievement in directing.
Oh, really?
No.
Not the list you sent me.
Ron Howard is up for Frost Nixon.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let's take it slow. Do you have Ron Howard? No. Just do you have Ron? We know Ron Howard's on the list. There's Ron Howard's teeth. Okay, very good.
Nice.
All right, Ron Howard up for
Frost Nixon.
Okay, Ron Howard's a terrific director. He is an actor's director, and how his films look are always based on his cinematographer. Because I think mostly the characters and the acting performances in his films are great, and I think that is entirely due to him. But if he has a bad cinematographer, I'll give you a perfect example. Backdraft is an amazing movie, visually an amazing movie. Apollo 13 is not visually an amazing movie, but yet there were fantastic performances in both.
Okay.
So what I've seen so far of Frost Nixon, I can say again, this is probably likely the same. You know, like the look of the thing is not so much of a big deal, but the performances seem to be top notch.
Right.
So good for Ron Howard. And who do you have next, Fantastic? Maybe we should just let Fantastic drive. Okay. Back up. Now you're getting into the supporting actors. There you go. That is the director of Benjamin Button.
David Fincher.
Was he on your list?
He was on.
Okay. So there he is. David Fincher, of course, the director of Benjamin Button. He's directed a ton of spectacular movies that I'm sure everybody has seen.
I'm sure.
And I thought the time-spanning motif of this movie took a director. Yeah. Took a director of Fincher's caliber, I think, in order to pull off. So bravo to Fincher.
Okay.
All right. Fantastic in the driver's seat. Who do you have before Fincher? Is that it? Is that what we're doing? Who do you have left on your list, Matthew?
Gus Van Sant for Milk would be the last director that I have on the list. And then after that, we move into another category.
Okay, let's move into the Best Supporting Actor category. And the first person that I had on the list that you sent me was Josh Brolin. Now I can't say Josh. Josh, you had that picture before. Fantastic. It is in there. You had it up 2 seconds ago. Okay, I'll tell you when to stop. Go forward. Okay. It's okay. I can edit this. Oh, wait. We're live.
The days of editing this is...
The audio. There it is. There's the one you don't have. This is the one you just... There he is. On the left of your screen, Josh Brolin in Milk. So, yeah, of course, Josh Brolin, of course, has been really wowing audiences in the last couple of years with roles
in lots of Oscar-nominated films, including, what was that one from last year?
No Country
for Old Men, of course, and his groundbreaking role in The Goonies.
That's right. And don't forget his upcoming role as Jonah Hex.
That's correct.
Taking his foray into the comic book world.
Yes, beating out the unfortunate sucker who made himself up for the part and didn't get it, because you screw one comic company, Thomas Jane, you screw them all.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Just saying.
I
heard the Stevenson one is really good. All right. Well, we'll check it out on DVD because I'm not going to the theater to see it.
Right.
I think it's already gone.
Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Now, this was a fantastic nomination, but the only thing that makes it regrettable, you have this one fantastic. The only thing that makes this regrettable, of course, is that Tom Cruise was not also nominated.
Okay.
Just waiting for him to get back on the right picture. There it is. Of course, he plays the Australian actor who is so method that he has his skin tone changed and his hair wears a wig in order to play the black sergeant in the movie.
Right. He's just a dude acting like a dude playing another
dude. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude, I believe is the line, sir. Good for Robert Downey Jr. because it was a really hysterical role. Oscar tends not to reward comedy that much. The notable exception, of course, Kevin Klein in Fish Called Wanda, who richly deserved that award. But good for Robert Downey Jr. He well deserved it. I don't know. Who did they place? They must have placed that weirdo guy that started. Oh, no, that was actor. Who else is in this category that was not in the Globes? Because I can't believe Tom Cruise did not get the nomination. They hate Tom Cruise.
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman is in this category.
I saw that picture briefly. There it is.
He is in there for Doubt.
Yes. Right, where he plays the kid-touching priest. We already went over it.
Right.
So who else is on your list?
Well, the big one.
Of course.
Is Heath Ledger.
The winner.
Yes,
there he is. Brilliant. Brilliant. Of course, everybody's been talking about this since the day he died, is the fact that this was his crowning achievement. I was wondering as we were coming over here tonight, you know, you see all those pictures of like the celebrities who died too young, like James Dean and Marilyn Monroe. If you see a few from like, if you see one that's made up of people that have died too young, like while we were, you know, coming up, would it be like River Phoenix and Heath Ledger as the Joker in like that cafe? You know that one where they always show the Cafe of Broken Dreams? Could they do one for our generation that has like those people in it? But Heath Ledger has to be dressed like the Joker because James Dean always looks like he looked in the movies when he's in that. And Marilyn Monroe is always wearing like the white Marilyn Monroe dress and all those things. I think some budding young artist out there needs to take that idea and run with it. The Cafe of Broken Dreams, this generation.
And more than likely it'll be available on a street corner in New York or a kiosk in the mall.
That's very, very true. I don't know. I don't know. You're kind of crossing genres there a little bit. I think, well, genre-wise, we need a young actress who is that. Aaliyah? I think she's kind of that side of the line too. But there has to be somebody. We're just not thinking of her at the moment, whoever it was, who unfortunately passed. But I was just thinking about that. Who do you have next, Fantastic? Who is in the driver's seat of the segment here?
I'm hoping that's Michael Shannon.
That is Michael Shannon from Revolutionary Road. Very good. Fantastic is giving everyone a sneak peek of the next category, so we know who's first.
Well, that's good.
That's good. This guy, the only thing I really remember this guy in is, regrettably, is the 9/11 movie, the World Trade Center. World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
That was, what's his name, directed that flick. Did JFK. And Platoon. Oh, it's so embarrassing. Oliver Stone. Yes.
Oh, my God. Wow. I was a brain fart of both of our hearts. Oh, my brain hurts now.
Oliver Stone. He played the weirdo Marine guy who kind of saw it on TV and was like, I have to go there. And he went there, and they were like, you know, do you need a hand? Yeah. And then he went, and he heard the guys underground, and he was responsible. I don't know how dramatic that is versus the truth, but because that is a true story, all of that movie. So that said, that's the only thing I could think of this guy having been in, and now he's being Oscar nominated for Revolutionary Road. Again, I haven't seen Revolutionary Road. I heard it was utterly depressing. Yeah, but I
depressing, yeah. Heart-tugging, tear-jerking.
Yeah. Don't have any hope for your future kind of. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, just stuff like that. Yeah. Good for him. I guess he does a lot of stage work and not a lot of film, so good for him. Yes, this would, now we're going into Best Actress in a Supporting Role. And the nominees are...
I'm going to wait for Fantastic.
I know who it is.
Okay, then who is it?
It's from Doubt. There she is. Amy Adams in her full nun gear. She plays the young nun who unwittingly sets Meryl Streep's character on the path of accusing this priest and so on and so forth. So that's her part. She's another one that all of a sudden, you know, every year it's what is Amy Adams doing? You know, it's good. All I'm saying is Cruel Intentions 2. That's all I'm saying. Okay, good. What fantastic? Who do you got now? I have not been. Penelope Cruz. Right. I don't know much about this film, but she is a good actress and she's terrifically hot, so good for her. Fantastic.
I'm hoping this is Viola Davis.
That is, yes, Viola Davis in Doubt plays the mother of the young boy who is or isn't being touched by the priest. You be the judge.
Okay.
Good for her. Yes?
I'm going to take a stab at pronouncing this one. Is it Tarji?
Taraji.
Taraji.
What was the last name?
P. Henson.
P. Henson. Okay. T. P. Henson. T. P. Henson played Benjamin. Played Benjamin Button's adoptive mother in the film, not her actual mother, but his the woman who raised him. Yes.
Okay.
She was excellent, I thought, in the film.
Good. Excellent for her.
Yes.
Is this her first big role?
I think maybe. Yeah. And most of that picture is Marissa Tomei. Yes, and she plays a, what would you say, past her prime stripper. Fantastic, you saw this flick. Is she past her prime? That's me. That's not, you have the me cam up and not the... There you go. We're working out the kinks, folks. You should invest in the $35 switch for next week. What? So she's past her prime, and she falls for Leatherface, right? I'm sorry, Mickey Rourke. Okay. Really? With Marissa Tomei.
So it's a Beauty and the Beast story, is what he's saying.
Right, but if anyone else calls her Beast.
Oh, ho,
hey.
You say Mickey Rourke is a beauty?
No, not at all. So, okay, and I think that rounds out the category, does.
Round out that
Whew, unbelievable. Let's, can we blow through these Razzies really quick? Those are the Oscar nominations, I think, that matter the most. Razzies, of course, would be the opposite of the Oscars. These would be the worst films and performances of the year. And I think we'll start with picture on this one.
Yes.
What do you have, Fantastic? There it is, disaster movie.
Right.
Topping the list of worst movies. And it tied. I understand it tied.
It did tie. With the Razzies, you can have more than one film and or person nominated for a single spot in a particular category.
Okay, good. So Meet the Spartans. Oh, there it is. Ever. Right. You know what? It's run its course. And I think I got to pull your reins back a little bit there, because Not Another Teen Movie was a clever parody of most of those movies. And you know what? No, I don't know that it's the best one, because I really liked Scary Movie 1 was fantastic. Right, Scary Movie 3 was pretty good. 2 was a little weak. Not Another Teen Movie was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Pretty fantastic. And then they just lost their fucking mind and started doing one every year. It's, you know what? It's like putting out a Weird Al Yankovic album where on every album there's the polka track made up of all the popular songs. And that's what these movies are.
And everyone is from 3 of the 6 screenwriters.
Yeah, from Scary Movie and from one of the key grips of Scary Movie 4. You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Good. What do you got next, Fantastic? Driving the Bus?
We're hoping for The Happening.
There it is, The Happening, also nominated for a Razzie. Well, he's just done, I think. Both of them, M. Night and Wahlberg, I think have run their course. Here, Wahlberg should stick to producing Entourage, and M. Night should just be happy he made some movies that made some money and go away. And what's his next one? The last Airbender movie?
Yeah, Avatar.
Oh, unbelievable.
Oh,
jeez. 3 times the crap. Terrific. I wonder what the spin is. It's all a cartoon. It's all not real because it's animated. Oh, just give it me a break.
Really, Robot Chicken sums up M. Night Shyamalan best in there. What a twist.
Yes.
All right. Have you heard of The Hottie and the Naughty?
Never. There's most of the poster right there. The Hottie and the Naughty. And the Hottie is a whore, Paris Hilton. And the Naughty, I don't know who the Naughty is in the flick, but this is another sort of Beauty and the Beast sort of story. It must be a horrendous piece of shit, because I didn't even hear about it before today. Paris Hilton couldn't possibly have done anything spectacular in it because she's Paris Hilton. And she couldn't have done anything in it worth seeing, because it would have been on your better, yeah, everywhere. There'd be pictures in Google. You'd be able to find them. Nothing's going to top that. What was that film that she did? One Night in Paris, of course. That's the only film anybody wants to see her in. Enough with the stupid Paris Hilton already.
In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
Okay, now I know this, there's most of the poster. There's Jason Statham, and there's also Lily Sobieski, yes, and a bunch of other people in this flick. I didn't think this flick was so terrible. Maybe it's me, but what? Now again, this wasn't you, Bowl, was it? I don't know. It might have been. You know what? It's a. You know, if you like that whole sort of fantasy film genre, which I'm not really a terrific fan of, but you know, Jason Statham is in this movie, and I like Jason Statham, so. You know, you put a couple of those elements together. I mean, at least you can get through it. I'm not saying it's the best film I've ever seen, but I don't think it was Razzie worthy. I mean, certainly not with Rachel getting married out there. Was it Razzie worthy?
Yeah,
oh, whatever. It was U-Bowl. It's U-Bowl. Oh, the one never to have him direct a film again after Blood Rain?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, it's not Uwe, it's U-Bowl. E-U-W. E-W-E is E-U. U-Bowl. Yeah, that's not the only thing. But okay, what else? Fantastic in the driver's seat. What else do we have there? Nope. That's when we talk. Lily Sobieski, by the way, is hot. Oh, there it is. The stink pile of the year, The Love Guru. Mike Myers' comeback is his walking away papers, I think. I think he's another one. I think he's done. I think. Yeah, because that third one was really weak.
Compared to the first two.
And of course, it made the Love Guru made it look like Citizen Kane. But oh my God, what a piece of horseshit! I got a boot of that movie, and I booted it right out of the window because it was absolutely a piece of horseshit. Let me tell you what really upsets me. By lowering his film credentials, it is less likely that we will get to see the Keith Moon biopic where he would play Keith Moon, which I think he would be exceptional at. Keith Moon, the drummer from The Who died very young.
Maybe like 5 or 6 years from now, that's his really big comeback.
I think he's getting close to the edge of not being able to play that role age-wise. So, I don't know. Lower his credentials by doing shit movies like The Love Guru, and my fucking Who movie gets pushed off more. Just saying. Fantastic? Fantastic? What do you got? And there he is, the worst actor of this or any generation, Larry the Cable Guy in Witness Protection. You can almost see his face in that picture. Thankfully, you can't. But absolutely a horrendous piece of shit of a movie.
Absolutely.
I've heard. I wouldn't dare watch it, but.
I saw the trailer. I think I saw some sort of extended trailer and maybe a clip somewhere on YouTube, and was convinced that this was not the movie for me, not even a Saturday lazy afternoon go. I'd rather watch Dungeons, whatever that color.
Yes, and whatever that was, a Dungeon Siege tale. What a fantastic. Where are we now? Okay, there's Eddie Murphy in Meet Dave.
I see his name attached to a film, and I just pretty much decide that I have no interest in wasting any time or money on it.
And you ready for this? This is a genre flick.
Is it really?
Yeah, actually, the Dave is a giant robot that's filled with with people who are running like the entire body. It's actually a fantastic concept. Like the Dave is like a giant spaceship, but it's run by Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Is, I guess, the captain of the ship or whatever. It just didn't work. It's unfortunate, but it just didn't work.
All right.
And it was apparently very. I didn't see it. I mean, if someone.
Eddie Murphy in 65.
Yeah, I think I'm going to check this out on. What's that thing that you and Fantastic use all the time to steal shit? What's it called? Hulu. And really? I thought it had a different name, like, okay, Hulu. I don't remember what those things are called.
Moving past Eddie Murphy, but back to the Love Guru.
Oh, no. Is that who you have next, Fantastic? Oh, there it is. Mike Myers as the Love Guru. So we're in the worst performances category here. Eddie Murphy and Mike Myers, how far Saturday Night Live guys can fall. That's a prime example of it there. I think we ripped the Love Guru enough of an asshole not to comment on it some more.
All right, and the next one is a single actor for two films, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino in 88 Minutes and Righteous Kill, which is Righteous Kill was the one that he did with De Niro. Right? You should have a picture of that. Fantastic.
And based on the trashing of that film by another popular radio show that I listened to, I did not bother with Righteous.
Oh, is that right? Well, it
got a couple of laughs out there.
It looked horrendous. So Pacino is on an ugly slide downward in, as far as performing goes. He's picking bad projects and doing badly in them. Somewhere around Heat, he lost his shit.
Just went out the window.
What do you got? Give me all you got.
De Niro.
De Niro's fine. De Niro's picked some iffy projects along the way, but he was in Stardust. And he was fantastic in Stardust. So, yeah. So it's.
Okay, so coming off of Stardust.
Right.
Okay, so okay with De Niro.
Okay.
De Niro wasn't nominated. So.
Good. Mark Wahlberg was nominated for two films. There he is in The Happening. And, boy, was it happening. Oh, my God. if crap could rule the cinema. And there he is, Max Payne, absolutely horrendous.
Again, I think I have no real, I know it's terrible. I know it's going to be bad.
Uh-huh.
But I could see myself watching it on a lazy Sunday afternoon, maybe while playing WoW or
ugh. Doing something similar. Have it on in the background. I don't even think it. You know, this is another film that I watched maybe about a third of waiting to see another movie. You know, when you sneak from theater to theater, you don't want to hang out where the employees can see you, you know, while you're waiting for your next flick. So you duck into another theater, you catch a few minutes of something. This was another one of those movies for me. And I actually walked out into another movie, which I had less interest in seeing because really Max Payne was terrible.
Wow.
Terrible.
There it is.
Awful. All right. And is that it? Fantastic. Are you out of pictures? That is it. I didn't get a worst actress list from you. So who do you have? We don't have any accompanying photographs, but who do you have?
Jessica Alba.
In the eye. I'm looking for the picture. There isn't one. The eye was, she got like an eye transplant, but the eye was evil. It's basically the Michael Caine movie, The Hand, but her eye instead.
Another cheap attempt at good horror.
Yeah, it's a cheap attempt at a movie is what it was.
Next nominee is the entire cast of the movie The Women.
Good, yes. This movie is a remake of a movie that came out, I think, in the 40s. And what was fantastic about it in the 40s was that it was all these as liberated as you could be in the 40s women. There's none of those stereotypes today. There's none of those, in my opinion, there's none of those barriers to break. You know what I mean? They've broken them already. And so it was a sad, sad remake, I'm afraid. I haven't seen it, obviously, but I have seen the original. The original, I thought, was a good flick.
All right. Cameron Diaz in What Happens in Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, just based on the title alone.
Yeah. What should have happened in Vegas was her doing a striptease, because that's the only way that she can sell a movie anymore, I think. She's done. I think she's done. No, I Jack Black. Yeah, no, I haven't seen that. Was she good in that?
What's the dude.
Jude Law.
Thank you.
That's where you went to Sky Captain to get Jude Law?
Damn.
Why didn't you go to AI?
I actually kind of like the holiday.
Okay.
I mean, that's not what we're talking about. But
right.
As far as Cameron Diaz.
Right. It's another Cameron Diaz role. It's another one of the throwaway funny movies. Wasn't Ashton Kutcher, wasn't he in this one too, the Vegas one? Who was the dude in the Vegas?
Oh, yeah, that might have been Kutcher.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's another throwaway performance where Cameron Diaz can shake the various parts of her body that she hasn't anorexed off of herself yet.
Paris Hilton in The Hottie and the Naughty.
Really?
Back to this one.
Again, I think us and those two guys in a one night in Paris ripped her enough of an asshole. We don't have to comment on it.
All right. And finally is Kate Hudson in Fool's Gold and My Best Friend's Girl. Now, I haven't seen My Best Friend's Girl. I did see Fool's Gold.
Yeah? How was it?
Fool's Gold? It was her and Matthew McConaughey. It was
a little known fact about Fool's Gold and what was the other flick? Roles turned down by Cameron Diaz. No, I'm totally making that up, but it's totally plausible, isn't it? Who's a ridiculous sort of good-looking throwaway blonde we can stick in this movie? Is Cameron Diaz available? No. Well, where's Kate Hudson? Yeah, it's serious. That's what she's been reduced to now, too. This was the same girl who gave a brilliant performance in Almost Famous, and who should be a much greater actress. It has. She should be a much greater actress than she is now. And she's taking these shit parts. Bride Wars. All right. Granted, I would take any part two where I got to tumble around with Anne Hathaway. But the point is that it's enough already. It's absolutely enough already.
Well, that's the end of that category.
Okay.
Go to worst supporting actor.
Okay. Let's blow through these because I think we're running long.
I don't know how to pronounce his name, Bowl, as himself.
You Bowl. Okay.
This was kind of like a...
Who cares? What's the next guy?
Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia.
Yeah, well, that, it should, again, that should be a whole cast thing because it was horrendous. And Pierce Brosnan had to sing in that flick, and good God. I had to be forced to sit and watch that with my mother and my fiance on Christmas Eve. I swear, I almost drank the eggnog.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, but I can't.
I know.
It'll kill me if I drink it, so.
Ben Kingsley in The Love Guru and Whackness.
Right. Anybody in The Love Guru should be shot right off the bat. And Ben Kingsley, for God's sake, Oscar nominee, Oscar winner Ben Kingsley is picking roles like this, is another one who's obviously losing his mind.
All right.
Next. Yes, and he was really kind of out of place in the Dungeon Siege Tale movie. It really is kind of like, it's Burt Reynolds. He can't be anybody but Burt Reynolds. You can't put Burt Reynolds in a period piece or a fantasy piece. I just don't see it ever working.
Vern Troyer in The Lug Guru and that guy's name, Postal.
Yeah, you Bowles Postal.
Yep.
Yeah, and well, look. Let's face it. The guy is not a terrific actor. He is a sideshow.
Although, Vern Troyer, very good in Jack of All Trades.
Okay, fine. There's your one. You know what? And he wasn't great. He wasn't terrible as Mini-Me in the second Austin Powers movie. But he was kind of bad, overplayed in the third movie. So it just...
All right, so that's that category. Do you really want to kill these last...
Sure. Right. Well, what are the categories?
Worst supporting actress. Uh-huh. Worst screen couple.
Uh-huh. I like that one. Let's do that one. Yeah. Well, let's do actress. Let's blow through the actress ones really quick. Big surprise. Not an actress. She is a pair of breasts and a life support system is what she is.
Paris Hilton in Repo, the genetic opera.
I haven't seen Repo yet, but I've...
Keep on hearing really good things.
So do I. But I... All right.
Is
but it's I think it's this week. Paris Hilton in anything, like I said, except One Night in Paris, is just redundant.
Right. Kim Kardashian in Disaster Movie.
Meh.
Jenny McCarthy in Witness Protection.
Meh.
Lele Sobieski in 88 Minutes and In the Name of the King of Dungeon Siege Tale.
I think Lele Sobieski catches a lot of flack, but I think she's a good-looking chick, and I think she's a fine performer.
Right.
So I won't agree with that. Especially Dungeon Siege Tale. I mean, she wasn't any worse than anybody else in that flick. Unless you want to just rifle them off.
Uwe Boll and any actor.
Okay.
Diaz and Ashton Kutcher.
Uh-huh.
Paris Hilton and either Christine Lakin or Joel David Moore.
Okay.
Larry the Cable Guy and Jenny McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
And Eddie Murphy.
Uh-huh. There you go. Good. Next. No surprises.
Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel.
Okay. Is that a ripoff?
Yeah, I remember reading about this somewhere briefly on Ain't It Cool, and I didn't realize that it had actually come out.
I thought it was a joke.
No.
Apparently it's not a joke.
Apparently it did come out, and it was terrible.
Okay, what else? What else you got?
Disaster Movie.
Uh-huh.
The Spartans, Indiana Jones, and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yep, deserved it. Uh-huh.
Speed Racer.
Yeah.
The next one I agree with.
Totally.
Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Yes, and totally.
I saw the 2 hour. Uh-huh. And I think I saw the first episode.
Right.
And I hated it all.
Good.
So there it is.
Gotcha.
All right. I don't really feel like doing worst director.
Okay, good.
Or worst screenplay.
And then let's bring this segment to a close, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up. It went right up to you, though, not to me, so no one saw me dancing.
That's okay.
What did we talk about on Big Kev's Geek Stuff for the last hour and a half?
Everything.
Episode 133. God damn, this shit is long. From Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition is Open Grave, Secrets of the Undead. This is a game supplement all about the undead in the new D&D world.
Spider-Man 4 is coming. Sam Raimi is directing. And to everybody's happiness, J.K. Simmons is coming back as J. Jonah Jameson. And Marvel, I think, is bringing Moon Knight to TV.
And speaking of Moon Knight, it is one of the comics to check out this week. Moon Knight number 26, as well as Captain America Theater of War, America the Beautiful. It's the third in a series of one-shots, which is really a fucking series. I don't know why they just don't number it 1, 2, 3. And the reprint of Amazing Spider-Man 583 with the Obama cover. The yellow Obama cover. Yes, everyone has seen it. And that came out this week as well. A couple of products we talked about today. The Golden Idol Bank from Diamond Select Toys. This is from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's practically a 1-1 scale replica of the idol. It's beautiful at 15, 16 bucks, whatever it is, 20 bucks. It's a fantastic piece from the movie, 1-1 scale replica. Beautiful. QMX, a fantastic company, so we're always happy to talk about their products.
Some good stuff, especially from Serenity.
Yes.
And what else? We know that Deathly Hallows has gone into production. Part 1 will be released November 19th, 2010, and then sometime in May of 2011, we can expect to see Part 2. And Tom and Jerry is coming to us from Warner Brothers a la CGI.
A la CGI.
And then, of course, there's the Mattel Barbie dolls.
Yes. Based on the new Star Trek movie by J.J. Abrams. Uhura. Yes. In segment two tonight, we went on and on and on about the Oscar nominations and the Razzie nominations. You can look pretty much anywhere online and find those. Is that right? And Oscars would be Google Oscars 2008. I'm sure you'll get the list. I don't know if you'll get the list that I saw that you sent me, but you'll get some sort of list. And that's it.
That is it.
You can check us out each week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can download a wonderfully edited and shorter version of this show. And you can do a whole bunch of things over there. You can purchase the official T-shirt.
Yeah.
You can drop us an email. You can comment on episodes. You can see live from Studio V episodes, which are fantastic by Production Tim over there. You can do a host of other things as well. You can purchase the download, which is coming to an end, actually. The download for the Flash Gordon commentary will be coming to an end on our site very soon. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere else, so if you're interested in downloading the exclusive commentary with Sam Jones and Melody Anderson, you can do that on our site for a short time longer. Or you can purchase one of the last remaining signed by both Sam and Melody, limited edition, signed and numbered, Alex Ross art DVD version featuring the auto commentary, the video commentary, and a whole bunch of other special surprises on there.
And we should say that if you're going to New York Comic Con and you want to see the biggest celebrities there, you can come and visit me.
That's right. Melody Anderson will be there.
Oh, she's
yes, she will be with us. We love her. And she'll be there. You can give us a call to comment on exactly what you want to hear on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, stuff you'd like to see us touch in Studio V. Touch is probably not the right expression. to cover in Studio V, or questions about the show, comments about the show, and the number is
425-920-6050.
That's right. And also check us out over at actually look us up over in Apple and leave us a review over there. Rate us, dig us, do all that stuff us. Yes, somewhere between 7 and 8 o'clock next week over at Mogulus slash ambush slash – no, there's no slash after that, is it?
Ambush.
Ambush. There it is. Is it? I wish it was Amblin Entertainment. And that's it. We out. See you next week. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Fantastic. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 133? Hooray for Heath Ledger and the end of this show.